Jeremiah? Is this good? All right, great. Well, good morning. Oh, I guess I'll stand back here. Thank you. Thank you for coming, for doing this little routine with me and for the Chris. We thank you for your kindness, for your enjoyment, and pray that I get through this, you know. I'm going to give you some facts about Terry on purpose here. She came to this earth on February 22nd, 1957. And because of a medical issue, she passed away on September 25, 2021. About a year ago now. She was 64. One of the things, I passed out this psalm sheet to you. One of the things, and I'm going to try to get the discussion started here, but one of the things she always loved to do, and she would do it for her own personal devotions and at night, she would use this psalm as a basis for it. And later on, we ended up getting animals. So the animals, she took the animals out to the hallway and would tell them to lay down. And then she would sing this psalm. So the whole impetus behind it was she loved this psalm, but she would sing it in the sense of making sure that the animals calmed down and went to sleep. And they did. Pretty amazing. So what I wanted to do is, I wanted to start by singing this so that you understand what she was doing. And it's going to be on the sheet I gave out there. It's going to be verse 1, verse 4, and the favorite verse would be verse 8. I'll see if I can get through this. So shall we rise or stand or sit or whatever? You guys can do that, whatever you'd like to do. So let's sing it. Give thou an answer. Have a seat there. part of what I wanted to do is, I want, for those of you that knew Terry relatively well, and I was interested in finding out some history and background and interesting things that you remember about her. And what I'm asking you to do is just stand up and speak out and let me know what you're thinking. And I will step back and wait. So let's take some time and share what you know, what you remember about her. So, floor is open. Yes, sir.
I think your bird is the one who's always, and I said this in breakfast, but.
Yeah. Yes. She loves strawberries. Okay. Thank you. Next. Yes, ma'am.
And so what I
Oh, that's all right. Fine, thank you. Okay. I can remember that one of the trees that we did get, we had a house in Security, which is a little burg south of Colorado Springs, Maine, and it had a picture window in the front room. The tree was 17 feet tall. So we drug it into the house and we set it up there, and I had to get scaffolding to reach the top of it. But her idea was, she says, "What do you mean short tree? We don't do that." No. So, but it was a lot of fun, and we had lots of people who would come over and visit, but we also had people from the neighborhood who would just drive through the cul-de-sac to look at that. It was just part of our decoration, if you will. So we had a good time. But it was an amazing time frame we had together, and she did love Christmas. She loved it. So, all right, next. Yes, ma'am. Zithra cheese.
Manager special.
like broccoli. Like to do that. Yeah, she did. Because it goes right over that town. Yes, sir, Mr. Bob.
Adventure I got to have with Terry was going firefly hunting in Colorado. And she had heard rumors that there had been some firefly sightings down in Fort Collins. And so she called me up and she said, "What are you doing tomorrow?" Because I need someone to go firefly hunting with me. That sounds good. Let's do it. And so we drove down, and I think the entire time was coming up with, well, we could do this with the ladies from church, and we could do this with everybody from church, and we could farm right there on that hill for everybody in the community. And so our ideas were just flying. And we got down to the park, and we walked around for a little while. We were waiting for it to get dusk. And we met a family that had a whole charcuterie board in the back of their truck. Terry made friends, and we came over for wine and cheese and crackers. And we had a lovely time, and neither of us were ever certain if we saw a firefly. We were just leaving to the park and looking, and we took a long back to there, and we were quite satisfied.
According to what she told me, you guys saw one firefly.
Yes, well, that was debatable. We weren't sure. Both of us were, I might have seen it blink, but we didn't ever see it blink back on. So.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. You're standing.
Well, just a couple of vignettes. I was trying to remember my first. I'm Kenneth Smith, our cousin. I was trying to remember my first recollection of Terry. And best I can figure, it was we were in Mars, Pennsylvania at our grandparents' house, and Grandma had just gone down this big long list of things that we were supposed to learn etiquette-wise, and how we were supposed to treat one another. And then we walked down to the church, and Terry was so put out with me because I kept getting ahead of her. And she said, "We're supposed to walk by side." What? We're supposed to walk by side. That's my first impression. She's a year older than I was, and she did not let me forget that. Another just sort of vignette. She is precision. She's a planner. I had the benefit of knowing her and Larry as they were courting and planning her wedding. And she was describing the wedding dresses. And there it was always descending shades of purple. I don't think I ever heard her say that without doing the. That's such a.
She was very Jewish.
And then the summer of 1975, I ended up spending that summer with the Scovell family. It was supposed to be a short visit. It turned into a protracted thing for reasons we don't need to go into here. But what I remember of Terry was her generosity. Because here's this interloper cousin, and she just brought me into all of her friends. So the youth group, the trips to Casa de Campo, the big amusement park, restaurants. I spent all summer with her friends, like her, just like her kid brother. And just so generous. I even babysat for some of her friends when she was tied up doing other things. So just great appreciation.
Okay.
You have to stand up, I found out.
Well, if you want to be heard, yes.
So, you know, there's been a lot of words that people have described Terry as this word really embodies her. Well, I have two words that were never part of her vocabulary, realistic and viable. Those things are not part of the equation. Don't even bring them up. It's just like a Christmas tree in the back of the truck. You go in the house and many other things. And I won't have lots of, I could tell lots of stories. I was in college when Terry and Larry moved to town. I didn't realize she was about my older brother's age, but she acted a lot like an older sister. Just a lot like an older sister. A lot of serious counsel, a lot of silly counsel. She reminded me a lot of my daughter, Elise, who is a one-person social committee. Just
that's
that prevent, including Pee-wee's Big Adventure as a church outing. roofing my dad's roof with her. She giving birth to Chris in our basement. That was not very realistic. I'm not sure it was viable. But it happened. And here's proof.
Yes, ma'am.
As Ken, you pointed out, her
kind of special. Sally Kay and I were the flower girls in the wedding of the Descending Purple. And I remember Mom making the dresses. She made the bridesmaids' dresses for Barb and Brenda, and she made the flower girl dresses in all the shades of purple. And Mom made me a Barbie doll dress out of the leftover fabric at Cousin Terry's wedding. And these are just the things that you remember as a little kid cousin. Is Terry just loved her people, but she loved all people, but she especially loved her family. And it didn't matter what age you were, didn't matter if you were a close cousin or from across the country, she loved you and she wanted you to be part of her life and she wanted to be part of your life.
Got a follow-up with a comment. Terry always struck me as one of the cousins who was connected to both sides of our family. We had a bunch of people who were on the east side, the folks and things like that. You know, so Ken's kids and Alice's kids. And then she also knew the ones out west, you know, Annette's kids and Uncle Bob's kids. And those people I didn't really know very well. She knew both. She moved easily among both those crowds. And she always wanted to get together. And she always said, that reunion, you know, let's get together. And you love people. Here we are.
Here we are.
She did it.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Evan.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
I'm Chris Akimian. I'm Terry's cousin on her father's side. And this is my sister Allison here. She's also a cousin. And I just wanted to say that one of the things that I didn't know about Terry, which I learned, you know, later in her life, just actually a couple of years ago, was she was very patriotic and had a deep love of country.
Oh, yes.
It was very much tied to her belief in God and those godlike principles. But I was very impressed. A lot of people, might talk the talk, but they don't always walk the walk. And she'd go out there and she'd be part of the movement to try to save the country. And I thought that was awesome.
Yes, my dear?
I'm Jan. I'm from Laramie. And I remember the times of fellowship and meals that I had with Laurie and Terry. And they were wonderful times. And I have one especially fond memory of the time that they went out with me to a cousin's ranch in Laramie so that we could visit the fjord horses that my cousin owns and also some ranching rodeo horses. And we'll never forget how she loved walking up to the fancy corral of those fjord horses and petting them and loving them. I didn't know how much she loved horses, of course, but they loved her too. And it was a special time. I'll never forget that. I think she really enjoyed being there.
Well, I remember when Terry was younger, her mother had told me about Terry's love of horses. And I said, how did that work? And she said, well, she worked at a ranch where she was doing the preparations for dressage. And I said, did she ever ride in the program? She said, I don't know for sure. I don't think Terry ever rode in the program, but she loved horses so much that, in fact, in our first, when we moved out to Laramie, there was a property that we were looking at. And next door, there was an old property. And in the back, right up along the fence, were two horses. So she went right over to them. And I thought, well, that's typical. She would do that. And they were waiting for her, which is amazing to me. You know, I don't know horses. I don't know anything about them, except that they're four-legged and they move. So.
I remember how much the horses liked her.
Yeah.
How they were
Well, that is something that she always did very well. Yeah. Anyway, got time for a couple more.
My name is Scott. So I've known her all my life. And don't mention her persuasive personality many times when Terry would say, "Hey, let's play a game." And no one wanted to. But we eventually played the game. And we were always glad we did. Or, "Hey, let's go see some Christmas lights. Let's just get in the car and drive around and watch Christmas lights, you know." Mentioned the fact that Terry was so positive, and it was so easy to make Terry happy because she was either already happy or all you had to do was go to the movie or go to some Christmas lights or go stand in a Black Friday sale for 20 hours. The things she loved to do. And, yeah, in fact, she was visiting here in Colorado, I'm going to say 5 years ago, there was a Black Friday sale at Cabela's. She wanted to go to Cabela's and buy, I don't know if she was buying ammunition or what. She stood in that line for what seemed like a week and a half. Probably only 6 hours. But she, you know, she had her thermos with hot cider and she had a whole thing that she did, you know. Couple of interesting stories, I guess, or ones that came to my mind when I was thinking about when we were kids. I spent some time in Sacramento in my firing station at the Colin Air Force Base there. And I was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7, she was 3 years older. I remember my parents would have to go somewhere and they would say, "Okay, we're going to be gone for a couple hours. Don't go anywhere. And, you know, we'll be back." Well, as soon as they were gone, and I'm really not sure who the instigator was in this.
You were.
Perhaps. But at this time, maybe not. Terry would say, "Hey, let's get on our bikes and ride over to TJ's Tacos and get some tacos." Because she loved tacos and TJ's was a special taco place. And I would say, "Okay." And I remember this route we had to take where we took a catwalk over the highway and thing, and we always planned it so that we, you know, got back before long. Yet. And TJ's Tacos, that was one of the things. Another story that came to mind, it was just sort of an interesting one, I guess, is Terry was not known for her driving prowess. She never liked to look in that right side mirror. And I would always say, "Watch her. Check over there before you get nuts." I can see over there by looking at the So one time, that's when we were living in Montana. And I had just learned how to drive. She was driving back home from somewhere. I remember coming along this road that paralleled the Missouri River. And then it came down to a light. And we turned right, crossed the river, and then went home. So we're coming down this road, it's, I don't know, 45 miles an hour or something like that, and I was looking at something, and she said, "I can turn right up here at this light on red, and you're allowed to turn right on red up here, aren't you?" And I looked up and said, "Yeah, this is one place where you can turn right on red." She took that curve at about 35 miles. I said, "Well, you got to stop for me."
I appreciate all these things that you've mentioned, and The service will be, and Jeremy's back there, or Jeremiah's back there. He's recording this as we say it, so hopefully we can hear it again. I'd like to introduce Peter Smith. He's our cousin, and he's also pastor of the Covenant Fellowship Reformed Church in Pittsburgh. And he agreed with me that he would say a few words of encouragement and truth from God's Word. So, Peter.
Weddings and funerals, it's when family gets together. And for the believer, they're both celebrations in their own way. And yet death reminds us that we still live in a fallen world. These stories, we laugh, but we're here because of a death. We live our lives amongst the ruins. Grief and loss, they are intruders, and they are not part of God's original good creation, but they are now our constant companions. They are our common experience. But in John 11, Jesus offers real hope. And we read this: when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Jesus comes to his friends who had recently lost a loved one. And he brought them tidings of comfort and joy, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that those who believe in him, though they die, yet they shall live. From a worldly perspective, that is not realistic, nor is it viable. But it is the truth. What a promise. So we read here that Jesus met grief with hope and compassion. He met Martha with words of encouragement. And a little later, he'd meet her sister Mary with tears of sympathy. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. He meets these sisters in their need, and he will meet you in yours. He cared, and he still does. But death is a judicial matter. We read in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. And yet the promise remains of new life in Jesus. He promises resurrection. He promises himself, because he is the resurrection. And he offers us real life. When the Son of God makes a promise, it is sure. If you believe, you will live. The resurrection is also very personal because it is bound up in Jesus, in a person. And his resurrection is the guarantee of ours and of Terry's. We are so much more than dust in the wind. We're image bearers of God Most High. And that image was marred by sin, which brought on death, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became like us in order to redeem us and give us life. None of us knows the time of our passing, though our days are written in the Lord's book. I teach part-time, teach high schoolers, and I often have asked them, if you had the opportunity to look in the book, would you? Most say no. They wouldn't really want to know the time of their passing, but he knows it. So while from our standpoint it looks untimely, it wasn't. Terry had fulfilled her purpose in her generation, and she fell asleep. So from our perspective, though, it is still grievous. And our own life, our own entrance in eternity is but a heartbeat away. And we're powerless to avoid it. But Jesus offers us assurance. He offers the same comfort and assurance he offered Martha on the occasion of her brother's death. So Terry, your wife, your mom, grandmother, sister, cousin, friend, she will rise again. And so will we and all those who hope in Christ. Unless the Lord returns, this body will fail. But our spirit, our soul, that which makes us truly who we are, continues as it waits for the resurrection. And this is the promise that gives us such hope. Because this is not all there is. There is a future. There is life rather than death. So Job could say in the midst of his grief, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Do you believe this? Because Terry did. And we've heard multiple testimonies to this. And she would wish this faith for you. Because Jesus promises life in death and life instead of death. How can that be? Well, he gave his life for us. We read in the scriptures, for our sake, he, the Father, made him, that is Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus has dealt with that judicial component of death by being made sin for us. He's been counted guilty so that we might be justified. But then he was raised from the dead, for death was unable to hold him. And now to him has been given all authority, including authority over death. So Jesus can say, as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. And the resurrection life that he offers is unimaginably wonderful. My favorite psalm is Psalm 16. And at the end of that psalm, it says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Fullness of joy. No regrets. Tim Keller has a sermon in which he touches on this verse. And he says that the promise of resurrection is more than mere consolation for what you've lost. It's the restoration of what you've lost. He says, you don't just get your body back. You get the body you always wanted, but you never had. You don't just get your life back. You get the life that you always wanted, that you never had. Jesus Christ is walking proof that you will miss nothing. No one is offered a future like this. But Jesus does. And this is the hope and the confidence of Terry. And it is her hope and confidence. Not was, it is. Is it yours? Because like Becky, I'm one of the younger cousins. And younger cousins tag along. And I don't know how much older cousins appreciate that or not, but how they felt about that. But us younger ones, we tagged along. We always heard about the stories of all the cousins at Geneva, and when I got there, there were no other cousins at Geneva. My life was different in that regard. But younger ones emulate older ones. We pick up expressions, ways of behaving. We even tell jokes we overheard our older cousins tell, even when we don't understand them. You can ask Scott about that later. But I remember Terry as a bright soul. I can hear her laughter. And I remember how patient she was, because we teased her a lot. And in looking back, I would say we were cruel. At least my older brothers were. Because when you get Scott and my older brothers and Phil and Brian, we were hard on her. I have to admit that. But she was kind. Did you say it? She took it, right? I cannot remember her ever saying an unkind word to me. And I know that Terry was a woman of faith. And that is a trait certainly worth emulating. She lived her life coram Deo, before the face of God, because she knew one day she would appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as we all will. And so she lived like that. Every day she lived with that conscious awareness. And her life invites each of us to do the same. And I know that she lived that way because every once in a while I would get an email from her, just out of the blue, maybe asking for prayer, but more often than that, asking me to join her in giving thanks and praise to God for some mercy that she had received. Maybe you got some of those emails too. I don't know. I don't know who was on that list. But we won't anymore. And that's one of the holes that gets left behind. There are many points at which we will feel her absence. You may experience waves of emotion crash over you, and tears may come unbidden. That's to be expected, because we miss her. But we are comforted in knowing that this is not the end. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Its sting removed by the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we commit our beloved Terry, a wife and mother, a grandmother, sister, cousin, a friend, to the compassionate care of our Heavenly Father. May his name be glorified now and forever. And we read these words at the end of the book of Revelation. "And now I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for Terry. Thank you that you ordained her life, and she blessed many. Just hearing the stories and going back into our own memories, we've all experienced that in some way or other. Thank you. And while from our standpoint, her death was untimely, yet in your standpoint, it was perfect. There is no accident. She lived life fully, and she lived it to the end. You called her from before the foundation of the world to be yours. And she lived into that faith, and she lived that faith out in beautiful ways. So we thank you for the testimony of her life. And Jesus, we thank you that because of your work and because of your life, and again, viewed humanly, untimely death, we have hope in you, as she did, that we will live in your presence forever. And that what we feel now will be swallowed up in victory. And that we will experience that fullness of joy. Be a comfort to us who mourn now. Holy Spirit, remind us of these truths. And if there are any here that do not share in this hope, Holy Spirit, revive that heart. Change that mind. And may that person embrace the hope that's offered in the name of Jesus. "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so as Terry rests from her work in you, so we, in this moment, look forward to the hour of our own death, that we might be ready to also appear before your judgment seat, Lord Jesus. And that we might give account with joy at that last great day, as she will, in Christ. We thank you for her. In your blessed name, amen.
Either beside you or underneath the seat should be another blue solder. I wanted to sing another one of Terry's favorite psalms. We did it when we went on trips all the time. We would sing Psalm 121, which is called the Traveler's Psalm. She liked the old tunes more than the new ones. So what I'd like you all to do is join me and sing 121B. Okay? And you can stand or sit, whatever you like to do, but let's sing it together.
I lift my eyes and see the hills from whence death come my name.
Say thank you for all of you to come and be here for this, our sharing time. I've had a request, speaking of that. Ken would like a picture of everybody in the family. So we were going to organize a place up here and just stand together and take pictures. Then, after that's all finished, we have food and the fellowship room next door. So you're all invited to stay and enjoy the food, and thank you once again for giving us a good time. Thank you.
Larry.
Sir.
Go for it.
Pictures, please come forward.
Yes.
Can you help me move this? Go that way. You don't want to.